So Anis, when your guest gets here, we'll send you to the promo. That way you can pass it in, right?
Check. Oh, any audio on the laptop?
You want to run some audio from your laptop, Ness, just to make sure we got it running?
I'm playing my iTunes.
All right, hold on.
I'm going to unplug and plug back in.
Thank you.
Got it. That sounds weird. Hello.
That sounds really weird. What the fuck?
Robotic
ear. Robotic echo.
Yo, in a bottle of rum. Why she look like Lauren London in You People? What if she heard me?
Like, I ain't fat.
I mean, you know?
I ain't fat.
Don't say that. I ain't fat. Don't say that. Damn, bruv. They pulled my man out. Bullshit. Que calor.
La mujer me la como al vapor, en la playa bañado en sudor, los bikinis te quedan mejor, tú eres mi amor, mol, mol, mol.
Yo, let's go.
All right, so we're recording and the stream is up. You guys ready?
All right.
We're going to roll the intro. 3, 2, 1, roll.
What up, what up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. We're coming to you live right from the Wynn Casino out of the Blue Wire Studios, and we're here to talk the big fight May 20th, Devin Haney taking on Vasyl Lomachenko, former promoter of Devin Haney, making his prediction, and he's saying that Devin will beat Loma handily. So, yeah, man. What's going on, Ringwalk Danny? How are you? I know you're locked in for this one.
Champ, you know it. Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's a fight that's long overdue and, you know, pretty easy fight for me to pick. You know, the younger, fresher champion. You know, he ain't a lightweight. He's a heavyweight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be hard for me to not roll with Mr. Devin Haney on this one. Definitely looking forward to it. Definitely excited for it. But, you know, I think that Loma probably might have let Devin grow into the division a bit too much, you know, versus fighting him back when Devin was the mandatory. So,
either way, he knew what was coming. That's why he didn't fight him back then. Back then, he was too young, and they wanted to say the inexperience was, I guess, a disadvantage for Devin. But it was really he was too young, and that youthfulness would put Loma at a disadvantage. Now he's got to deal with youthfulness, size,
experience. Oh, yeah.
It's over now. You know, I mean, and look, we're the buyer's voice. I mean, I'm sure this doesn't come as a surprise to anyone listening that we're picking Devin. But, you know, Loma still has an opportunity to prove us wrong, show us that he still has something left in the tank. I just think much like this morning, you know, talking about Serrano, I just think that, you know, he's also in that boat. Obviously, he's not getting touched as much as Serrano, but he's older, taking on a person 10 years younger. Like, it's not easy. It's not easy. Not an easy task.
Is it an entire 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, Devin's 24, just turned.
Yeah, how old is Vasil?
34 going on 35, without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt. But I will double check just in case, you know, somehow someone turned back the hands of time on him the way they did his record on ESPN. But it looks like he's 34 years old. And his birthday, he was born, why does it say no month? Strange.
It says that.
Oh, okay. Oh, February. Oh, wow. So he's about to be even older.
About to be 35.
Yes, sir.
Devin, yeah, he's still going to be 24.
Yes, sir.
Until the end of the year.
So, yeah, I mean, again, being as though you believe this, I guess, you know, hearing it from Eddie doesn't even matter to you, right?
No, I mean, Edward is just telling me what I've known for some years.
Mm.
You know, I did see he saw the face-off that happened in this very room between Johnny Fisher and Mr. Lovejoy. Hopefully, we could one day get you in this room, Eddie.
Yeah, man, that's exactly what we would love, is to have big Eddie Hearn up in here. I seen your press conference, Eddie. I seen you giving Johnny Fisher credit for self-promoting. You give no credit for the beautiful Las Vegas studio he had that self-promotion done at. It's okay. One day, God will touch your heart, and you will realize that the boxing voice is your friend. But that being said, I did want to go with this topic because Eddie is intelligent. By staying and remaining in the good favor of Devin, the possibility of a re-signing is there. Do you think if Devin, the thing is, Devin just got to win. He doesn't necessarily have to vacate. And how does that work for a promoter, right? Like, Devin wins.
Mm-hmm.
He's still technically undisputed, but we all assume he wants to go to 40. So if you're Eddie, just because you signed Devin as an undisputed champion, the politics kick in. He has to defend mandatories and or vacate. Those belts don't stay on your side because you signed them. They go back to the sanctioning bodies, and the highest ranked fighters are the ones to get an opportunity. So how much leverage does Devin have? Because it's like you're not going to defend them again. So the network you're going to doesn't look at you as undisputed, or do they?
I just think they look at what the future entails for you, right? They see your potential, probably where they cap you, right? I'm sure that's how they look at it. Like, okay, what's this person's cap? How much can we make from them? And, you know, how much can we profit? For me, I think that you look at him probably not as an undisputed, because he's more than likely going to move up. But that's again, a conversation you have with him, right? What if he just like...
How valuable is he to Eddie with no belts going to 140?
I mean, he'd be able to use his WBC and WBA status if he chose to against said champions at the 140-pound division. Obviously, that's a conversation that he has with whoever he's with at the time. And then you see...
Well, if you're going to go fights, WBO, you stay in top rank.
You see what fights... Well, I thought it was the BA that does it.
No. WBO and WBC.
Oh, the BO and the BC.
So,
right.
Obviously, there's heavy rumors. Teofimo's team, again, now saying that they're fighting. Josh Teller in June. And I got to believe Punch, you know, that's his man's. So that's off the table. I think Regis, Probellum, DAZN, big money for Devin Regis. Big money. You activate your WBC, tell them you want that shot at Regis. Regis don't got a network. They got to play ball. Get that Saudi money from Probellum. See if they could get a out-of-country site. If not, what are you thinking? Oakland, Louisiana, at New Orleans, what? Dallas? Where's a Devin Haney Regis Prograde title fight land in your eyes?
Regis Prograde, Devin Haney? I mean, I feel like you could get some Middle Eastern money from that. We've seen...
According to the chat, not to cut you off, but they're saying Bill already said Devin stays at 135 till 2023, which is a great idea because that's how you negotiate. Because then you go to an Eddie and say, nah, I'm defending my titles. Now I'm bringing my titles to your network. Now you're worth more. It's just that I didn't know what they were going to do, but that makes so much more sense. But go ahead and finish your thought, and then let's bring in someone that's going to help us out tremendously with all this guessing. Obviously, he doesn't have any knowledge on what we're talking, but he'll let us know the mind of a manager in this sport and how to navigate a fighter, and that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, no, let's go to him.
All right, well, let's cut to the Kenichi Bear promo to my producers in the bubble and to you guys live watching live. Don't forget to head on over to KenichiBear.com. Get yourself a set of Hibernation 5s. You hear all our callers calling, using them, and obviously, you know, the best audio quality.
Huh?
All right, we're ready to go back. You guys ready? We're ready to go. Fading audio. Three, two.
All right, all right. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we're joined alongside Adrian Clark. And I'm actually excited, man, because obviously from reading the book and having you on the show, that Errol Spence Miguel Cotto story always sticks out. And knowing the book, there's always little stories. So I guess my first question is, what pulled you back in? You said you were done with management.
No, you just talk straight into.
Oh, it's not on. Turn them on, guys. Not yet. Mic check for him.
Good,
my
good.
There you go.
I'm good.
You can bring it closer to you if you want the arm.
I'm actually, so being honest, I'm just CEO of Fighters First Management. I'm not directly managing the fighters, but I did tell you that I would never get back in it, and I was serious that I was never going to manage fighters again. But when I met with David Basher down in Georgia, and he told me that he read Protect Yourself at All Times and painted his vision to me that the company was being built based off of the book. It was hard to say, I'm still not interested, man. So it was a good opportunity. And then I was able to hire one of my best friends in the industry and someone who's really strong as a boxing manager, Jolene Mazon. So I'm still keeping my word. That was something I told David when I first sat down with him, like, yo, I'm not managing fighters again. I'll build this company up from the ground, but me managing again. So I'm in it, but I'm not all the way in it.
But I mean, as a CEO, you got to supersede them deals.
No, that's the thing. That's why you hire someone as strong as Jolene, because like she knows the business from the promotional side of things. So she knows how it's supposed to look as far as the contracts and things of that nature. So I feel comfort. I have comfort in not having to look over Jolene's shoulder or micromanage her in regards to dealing with the fighters, because her title has changed as far as management goes, but she knows this business, so it's been fun. It hasn't been a year yet, and we've made some amazing strides, man, so I'm enjoying myself.
One of those are Brian Norman Jr. and Sr., and the thing is that based off our interview, it sounds like they got with Fighter First because of Adrian Clark.
Man, so it's crazy. Bob Arum, Carmoretti, told me about the kid maybe a year before I even met him. Like, I had no business in Georgia. So I'm like, I'm a Texas guy. I'm not going to go out my lane to try to reach out to this Georgia kid, and I'm not even managing anymore. But I knew who he was. But you know, once I agreed to take over Fighters First as CEO, started thinking, okay, we're based out of Atlanta. Who's around? And Brian Norman Jr., that was the talk of the town. And I just remember what Carl had said. And I'm like, you know what? Let me and it was nerve-wracking, man. I've sat in front of many parents before, but this was different going into Brian Norman Sr.'s place of business just out the blue. And then I stood him up, low-key. I told him that I was going to come out and holler at him, and I got sick. Mm. And I didn't tell him that, like, yo, I can't make it because I'm sick. So it was strike one against me, really. But once we sat down, man, and we really hit it off. And, that was a priority of mine to make sure that by any means necessary that Brian Norman Jr. was a part of Fighters First, and we made sure that happened.
Now, can you explain that for our listeners? Why would a promoter put a manager on when they could just go straight at the kid?
They could have went straight at the kid, but, you know, Top Rank has been good to me, man. Like, Brad Goodman and Bruce Trampler are two very good friends of mine, especially Brad, man. Brad and I have had some years in, and Brad was the one that introduced me to Bob and Carl. So Bob was actually the one that gave Jay Prince my number so they could make a run at Errol Spence. But the relationship has always been there, so I appreciate them for tipping me off on that. But, yeah, they could have went straight at him, but I think the respect that we all have for each other, it just makes things make sense. So, yeah.
So what was your thoughts over his first performance? I felt like he almost had that Mike Jones, Soto Carrasco moment where he seen a knockout, he jumped on his guy and almost emptied his tank in that one round. He was definitely able to get his second win, score a knockdown, and get the win. How'd you grade his performance?
I really gave him a B-, but, you know, he was adamant to me and to Jolene that he was going to stop this kid in the first round. He just kept saying, he's not making it out of the first round. So, like, that was premeditated. He came out, like, hard, and he was trying to prove to not only us and everyone else that he's a finisher. And I'm like, he learned a good lesson for a 22-year-old fighter. Although he has 24 fights, he's still a young guy. So he learned a valuable lesson that night against a pretty strong fighter. But yeah, I gave him a B-, just based off of, you came out hard, you didn't finish it, and then those middle rounds were, you know, they were really close based off of he had gassed out. But I think he showed a lot by dropping the kid in the last round and then finishing strong for such a young guy, man. So I think his upside, Errol Spence actually texted me during the fight, and he was like, yo, he reminds me of a young James Kirkland. He was like, yo, he's muscular build, and he makes you fight him. Like, there's no getting away from him. And I'm like, I don't know. People think James Kirkland, they think of, like, you know, after he kind of, like, was on the decline. But I'm like, yo, that's solid. But I think Brian is going to be great in the sport. And I think he's going to be great with Top Rank. So I'm excited for him. But he'll get better from that performance.
What's your thoughts as, again, the management and hearing him say he would like to get the 140? Obviously, the father said he ain't going to 140, but Brian seems to think he could get down to 140.
That's a group conversation, and you know, it's two strong personalities. And one thing I told, because you know, you have to go through the father, right? You know, I have to go through Brian Norman Sr. like for this, and we actually just spoke the other day, and you know, I thanked him for, because I understand I'm a father now, and you know, my son is 4, so I can only imagine if my son was the you know, one of the top prospects in the nation for baseball, it'll be difficult for someone else to come in and like, oh, we're going to direct your son from here. So I thanked him for opening up and being comfortable with having me around and kind of giving direction on things and having Jolene come in and kind of give direction on things. But that's a group conversation as far as like 140 goes. Brian is Junior is a very smart individual. He's wise beyond his years, but I don't know right now if 140 is the look for him, but that's a conversation between, you know, father and I and him.
He's back May 14th, right?
Yes.
Whose card is that?
Honestly, right now, I don't know. We just know that he's back May 14th. Once we get more information, I'll definitely let Ness know. But right
that's
now,
good. 6 days away from Devin.
So that's a Friday?
Nah. That's
my math is good. My math is not good. I never know what day it is. I don't know what day it is right now, so I can't.
Because Devin, it would be May 20th, if you said, right? What you said, May 14th?
Which 14th is the date?
14th.
If I'm not mistaken.
Of what?
That's a Sunday.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the 13th.
Maybe it's the 13th. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But I know for sure it's. I thought it was the 14th, but it's one of those dates.
Me and Danny was just talking about, like, who would be your Tim Van Newhouse? Like, who's your talent seeker? Hmm. Who's in the gyms finding the next signee? Because I've seen you sign someone. I don't want to say anything until I get the answer to this question, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, who's your eyes and ears on the ground?
Well, you know, I've managed for 9 years, man. So for me, you know, you meet so many people. And even though he's not currently with the company, he's not with Golden Boy anymore, but, like, my conversations with Ernie Gabillon, my conversations with Rob Diaz, like, you know, you have people in the industry that may not be working for a big company or whatever, but it's like, hey, you should check out this guy. He was really good. The conversations are always there, man. So right now there's not one individual. There's some information or news coming out in the next couple months of who that individual will be. But for right now, it's not just one person. I make sure I listen to everyone that hits up this phone of mine. And then I'm no stranger to going to a boxing gym or following a lead and going to see it myself. I'm not a I'm a ground up guy, bro. Like, I got it, like they say, from the mud. I'm a guy that came up the lowest level possible. So it's not beneath me to go to a gym or fly somewhere to see someone and see what the fuss is really all about. But that one person will be named in a couple months.
Sorry to put you under the gun, because I feel like it's Roberto Diaz. He did get let go from Golden Boy. I was hoping he landed maybe with Black Prom. But is he going management?
That's a question for Rob, man. That's not really a question for
When's
for
the
me.
Last time you spoke to him?
We spoke recently, man. Rob is my guy. Rob is someone that's actually, like, my friend. It's not like the business. Like, no, he's actually a friend of mine. And honestly, with the wealth of knowledge that Rob has and the connections that he has, he can go either way. He can go still be a matchmaker. He can go run someone's company. He can do a startup. He can get on the management side. Like, Rob is a very versatile guy.
What would you have him do for you?
Well, we have... That's a,
hypothetically. I mean,
like,
because, you know, he's
like
been
that.
Matchmaking for a while. What if he's like, nah, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to matchmake. I don't want to go with
Rob
Black
Diaz. Rob Diaz will make the perfect consultant. He will make the perfect consultant for a company just based off of his knowledge of, like, matching fights, but then also his relationships. That's what always makes a great consultant. Bias. That's what made me a great consultant. I had the relationships and I had the connection. So Rob will make a great consultant. So, you know, if Rob were to work with Fighters First, he will make for a great consultant. Or he will make for a great manager. You know, who knows?
Is that an avenue that Fighters First is missing? Because I see Jolene Mazzone sounds Italian. Obviously, Adrian Clark sounds African-American. Is the company seeking a Latino side?
I thought you was white at first.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I swear to God, I thought you was a white guy.
I was white for real?
I thought Adrian Clark.
Oh, you're serious?
I'm dead ass.
He wasn't laughing. That's why I turned my head like, wait.
No, I'm not laughing. I'm for real, because you got your boy Adrian, and he's white. You know what I'm saying? In Wisconsin.
Well, he's mulatto. He's half black, half white.
Well, look, I ain't
wait,
know that.
Wait, did you base it off of the name, or
the
did
name.
You hear me
no,
speak?
No,
okay.
Never
all
heard
right.
you speak. Gotcha. I definitely, this was before I ever seen a picture.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? I heard Nesta would always, from day one, would always say your name, and Adrian Clark, that sounds white to me, shit.
It was a boxing man, like Peterson or something from Jersey. I think he dealt with Kendall Holt or somebody.
Adrian Peterson's a running back.
Football player,
yeah, that's the one.
Oh, is there Adrian Peterson?
Didn't he get into management? Like,
No. You think of Brandon Jacobs got into management. Brandon Jacobs.
Google Adrian Peterson. That's going to be crazy. If
yeah, look that up for
that.
Me. I know for a fact Brandon Jacobs.
Didn't he play for, like, the Jets or the Giants?
You're thinking of Brandon Jacobs. Brandon Jacobs.
Well,
was,
Adrian Peterson played for the Jets, too.
Boom, that's about to be
see
right.
See if he managed, though. You said Kendall Holt. Adrian Peterson wasn't around.
Maybe
as
not
a football
Kendall,
player
but definitely
Kendall.
Somebody in Brandon, that Jersey, New York area.
Look up Brandon Jacobs and Kendall Holt, and I'm more than positive that's it.
So back to that, would a Roberto Diaz, like, is Fighters First Management looking for a Latino representative to go out there and hit up those, you know,
man, we're open. Honestly, you know me, Ness. You know me better than most, man. I'm a competitor, and like I agreed to do this thing, man. Like I'm looking to make Fighters First Management the best management company in the sport of boxing. I come from the NBA world, where like CAA and Wasserman Group, I know how those companies are structured. So, but we're open to anyone that is going to help make Fighters First Management the number one management company in the sport of boxing, whether it's Latino or Asian. We're not discriminating or saying like, no, we're not looking for a particular anyone that's going to make this company better than what it is now. We're definitely open to.
Oh, wow. Someone went to Bryan Adams High School with you.
Who was that?
Last name Ferguson.
You got a lot of fans, bro. Y'all got a lot of fans. So there's people in Texas that be like, yo, man, like, you know Ness, or we're going to listen to the show. So y'all get around, man.
Appreciate it. We was just out in Houston having some fun.
Dallas, man. I live in Dallas.
I know. I'm just saying we was out in Houston.
You came to the city, man. So you already you know what it is.
I was back when he was allowed.
I've been trying to get him to get me a sit down with Earl, man. I can't believe Earl's still tight, but we ain't gonna waste time on that, man. We gonna leave that energy in the past and hope that we can move forward. But I did want to ask, obviously, you said you're not discriminating to anyone, but you did say you want to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
How do you top the Keith Conleys and the Al Haymans and is that about it? Who else?
Yeah, but as far as like companies.
The women's, though.
Yeah, as far as companies go, like give me your top three boxing management company.
Fall under that? Heyman Boxing LLC? Is that?
I don't know.
We gonna throw it under that because we know
if you want to throw it under, you can.
We know he advises, manages. I'll say I got more than three. I ain't gonna front. It's gonna take me some time to figure out all the names. Keith Conley for sure is killing it. He's got Adam Kovnacki, Berlanga. He just got Richardson. Who else he got? Devrinchenko. Look at all the opportunities he gave Devrinchenko, and he's top rank, the zone, and PBC. That's what I like to see. I don't like to see
someone
a manager. You know what I mean?
Right.
So then there's a guy named Brian something who has every single female out here, from Melissa Odessa to Ebony Bridges. I mean, all the hot girls, he got them somehow, except for the bigger women. The women in and around that division, look them up. Just look up Bridges, and that's the name. He's killing it. Manager, who else that you can trust? It ain't gonna get you right, man.
I feel like no one has our structure because no one
What's
has
your structure.
No one has a Jolie Mazzone. What former like mainstream promoter, matchmaker especially, can you name that went from promoting at a high level? Jolene promoted Sergey Kovalev from when Kovalev was absolutely nobody to a megastar, the Brian Jennings. Second part of Zab Judah's career, Jolene knows that world. Name me one management company that has a former promoter matchmaker that is managing the fighters.
Only that's backwards. Cameron Duncan was manager turned promoter.
Okay.
I can't think of another one the way you want it.
She's the first one. So with that, and I think, you know.
She's always been a mentor to you, so. How?
I'll say this, man. Like the word mentor is strong, and it's much respect to Jolene.
Oh shit! So
much respect to Jolene. But like, no one held my hand and walked me like through this. I met good people along the way. Jolene was the first person like I've met. I signed Jerry Belmontes to main events, but it wasn't like Jolene like held my hand from promoter to promoter to fighter to fighter. So there's always been good people. In my ear or along this journey, man. But I always said before, like, no mentor. Nobody walked me through managing boxes. It was just help along the way. So, but Jolene is strong, and there's nobody out there that's like her. And, again, if you can name me somebody that went from being a mainstream promoter to the management side of things, then that's the individual or that's the company that can compete with us. But we're not even a year in. We're not even a year in, and we're already making – good headway. So I think by the time that 3 years or 5 years passes by, we'll be up there. If Al Heyman is the top management company to be with, or Keith Conley is the top management company to be with, we'll be in that top three if we're not already in the top five.
What is the importance of a management company? Because you hear interviews and you hear guys, no one in particular, but say, oh, you don't need a manager, or you don't need a manager, but you need an advisor, or you need an advisor and not a manager or a promoter. So what do you think the importance is?
This is the only sport that, only professional sport where someone will tell you, oh, you don't need representation. It's like, that's like me telling the NBA players, like, oh, bro, you don't need representation. You can go in there yourself and negotiate your contract with the general manager. Look at, I think the trouble that Lamar Jackson is having negotiating his contract with the Ravens, which they're probably going to franchise him, but he's his own representative. And there's a certain culture in other sports. Like, you need a representative. If every athlete were just representing, like, their own or negotiating their own contracts, a lot of guys would be shorted a lot of money, but then there'll be no culture. There'll be no avenue for agents. Athletes are great at what they do either on the field or in the ring. Even the education that I provide athletes as far as protect yourself at all times and, like, kind of showing them from A to Z what they need to get prepared for, it still does not mean that you're a manager in the sport that you can go in with a Brad Goodman and know exactly what to negotiate. You need strong representation in the field of boxing because, again, we've seen for decades fighters being taken advantage of either contractually or financially. Why is that? Why is that? It's because they either have inadequate representation, people that get in it, but they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to manage price. They don't know what to look for. They don't know what to negotiate. So, no, you do need representation in the sport of boxing, but getting with the right individuals, getting with somebody that has no connections, that has no experience negotiating contracts, they getting in boxing, copy and pasting boxing contracts and saying, here, sign this, and then all of a sudden we don't see a kid for a year or two or he doesn't fight, and we're looking like, man, what happened with him? He signed with someone. It's kind of a fixed-term agreement that he cannot get out of, and I get calls all the time, man, can you help me with this? Let me see your paperwork. Look at the paperwork. It's like, bro, you signed an 8-year contract that you can't get out of, and I don't even know who this gentleman is that you signed with. So it's like that's the backwards part of it, but no, you need adequate representation in the sport. You need that.
Would you consider yourself a hustler?
Yeah.
At this point in your life, you've been successful. You sold the company. You've written 5 books. You got a son now. Do you think you're still hungry?
Oh, yeah, no. If I wasn't, I wouldn't have taken this opportunity, bro. Like, I honestly would have just been like, yo, I'm good with consulting. I'm good with just dealing with different companies and kind of being a contract killer, so to speak. I would have did that. I wouldn't have taking this opportunity, but no.
A contract killer.
Yeah, that's what I look at myself as, low-key. Like, when I was consulting, I'm like, bro, like, whatever comes across my desk, like, what do you need me to do? Like, this is the price tag that's on it. I got to go get it. But
speaking of, I sent him my contract. Well, what would you call that? It was like a short-term or some shit, right? It wasn't a full contract, he definitely advised me. So contract killer he is.
No, bro. I know what I know. I don't claim to. And Brian Norman and I, Senior, talked about this the other day. I know what I know. I don't claim to be a know-it-all, but what I do know, I'm confident on, and I'm confident that I can get done. But
I wanted to pump you up with that. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted you to feel that air under your wings because it's like if you a hustler, if you think you a contract killer, are you actively trying to make this fight for us? And you know the fight I'm talking about. Now you are a management company. You see that we're having issues because of management. Are you trying to fill that void for said individual that you know does not have representation? If you need me to fill in the blanks, I would.
Please do. I like transparency,
man.
Bro.
You
say,
see my co-host is in the same car with me.
He's saying you got the company. This is where you come in, help Bud. Make the fight with your boy, Earl, the truth.
My fucking co-host is official. He know exactly. Because, listen, everybody see. I mean, we follow it closer than you, but, like, I'm sure it stumbled across your desk that, you know, he was asking for transparency, and I want to see this. And it all boils down to he don't got a manager. His manager's his trainer. I even had Lou DiBello on here, and Lou's like, ain't nobody showing Bo Mack no con. So it's like, are you listening to this, and do you think, yo, this is my opportunity to be Superman of boxing? Like, you can literally rip off the suit. The fucking S is there if you make this fight. You're not with me on this.
No, I hear you, man, but to be honest, it's a tricky one, to be real with you, because I am, and I'm not going to sit here in front like I'm not biased. Like, Errol Spence Jr. is a great friend of mine. Like, I consider the man family. So for me to run to a Bud Crawford or to go through a Bo Mack, like, hey, listen, you know what I'm saying? Like, come sign with Fighters First. We can make that fight happen. Can I curse?
Yeah.
I'm not going to
ask. Curse as much as you want.
Yeah, I'm not like the bullshit games people play in this business. Like, I'm not really with that. And I'm not going to sell homie no whoop tickets on, yo, you come sign with us. We can make the fight happen because Errol Spence is a great friend of mine. Like, I'm not with that bullshit. So, because I can't guarantee that. Like, just because I'm tight with EJ, like, yeah, I signed Terrence. And it's like, hey, bro, don't worry about me signing Terrence. Like, let's make the fight happen. Like, Errol is very tight with a gentleman named Al Haymon, who has done a lot for him, whether it be in the ring or outside the ring. So to make a fight happen, he has representation. He has someone that he relies on, man. And it wouldn't be me talking directly to Errol about making the fight happen. It'll be me talking to Sylvia Owens or Al Haymon, the people that he trusts with his career. Representation, what we talked about before, it'll be me talking to them. And at the end of the day, same situation. If there's no transparency or the numbers don't make sense, or the fight won't happen, regardless of me being friends with Errol or not. If they don't come
correctly,
I think
you interpreted it wrong. I don't care that you're friends with Errol. I feel like everyone is saying Crawford needs representation. Yeah, your relationship with Errol would probably help more than it wouldn't.
Well, I know for a fact.
Have a relationship with Al.
I know for a fact that Jolene reached out to Bo Mack. Where that conversation went or where it didn't go, it led to he's not on our roster. He's not someone that.
How long ago was this?
To be
before the Avenizon fight or after?
This was before.
There you go.
This is definitely before.
I mean,
so,
$10 million is $10 million. I don't need nobody to give me $10 million, but look, I still ain't get the big fight. So maybe now full circle, I'm willing to sit down and talk again. I'm just saying.
I understand.
That's a big signing for you too. Like, what would it mean for Fighter First Management to have Terrence Crawford, that press release go out?
That would be great, but he's looking for the Errol Spence fight, man. So it's like to sign someone and to not be able to deliver the fight that they're looking for. It's like we didn't do anything but just make a headline. Like, he's looking for that. He's looking for the major fight.
Okay. But you've also seen the pictures with him and Oscar and B-Hop, and that's another great relationship you got. So, he sat down with Al. He had a meeting with Oscar, but he's a fighter. And right. I think that's what you need to explain to fighters. It's like, you're going to be able to have conversations, but we have different conversations. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
And the Rocha fight, the Virgil fight is there. Like you said, you from Dallas. Let's get Virgil and Crawford
in there. Honestly, Terrence is what, 35, 36? He's at the tail end of his career, man. So the way he's going about it in regards to making sure that he's collecting big checks, but you're setting yourself up for retirement. So I think it would be very smart for him to align himself with a promotional company like a Golden Boy Promotions that can feed him 47. Just as like when Floyd was going through his hay and he aligned himself with Golden Boy Promotions and they fed him all of the 47s or whatever that they had. I think it's smart for Terrence, but I'm not against having a conversation, but I'm not where I took your question as I'm not going to bullshit this cat. Like, yo, come with me. Like, I can make the Errol Spence fight happen for you because I'm tight with him. Like, that's not the direction that
yeah, no, and that's not what I was meaning either. Yeah. I didn't think, oh, just because you his friend, you can make it happen. I factored everything in. You've been around the block. You know Sylvia. Like, I figure, like, your conversations or your phone calls get answered differently. You know, maybe they get answered on one ring instead of two or three. You feel me? For real. But if not, Terrence, is there anyone that you are actively seeking out to make that mark, to make that splash?
To be honest with you, Brian Norman Jr. does not have the name of an Errol Spence or a Terrence Crawford.
Well, he got the hype, though.
Exactly. So, honestly, I feel like what we did with B was big. So, I don't feel like I have to go chase down anyone else. I would love to have a conversation with a Terrence Crawford or another big name fighter that does not have representation. But, however, I feel like we did make a big splash with having Brian Norman Jr. come on board with Fighters First. So I feel like we made some big steps, especially hiring Jolene and then hiring and bringing on Brian Norman. But for right now, man, there's like not one person I can like, oh, I'm recruiting X to bring him or her onto the company. I feel like we're in a great spot with the six that we have. And I'm open for any other conversation with any other fighter or handlers that they may have, but no one person right now.
And how are you taking the not re-signing of Giovanni Cabrera, who got the biggest win of his career over Gabriel Flores Jr.? It seems like Top Rank cut Jr. after that fight, but didn't re-sign Cabrera.
Yeah, that was weird, man. That was weird. And what's funny about that, Gio parted ways with his manager at the time, like after that fight. Now, that Gio is someone that I did aggressively like recruit based off him telling me that there was no signed contract and they just had a handshake agreement or whatever it may be. He's someone that he's one of the few that listened to me from when we first met each other, when he was with Banner Promotions. A lot of people don't know he was with Banner Promotions. And Arpulu is a good friend of mine, but Gio wanted out of the contract. He wanted to do something different. And Gio followed everything that I told him that he should do in regards to a situation with Banner that got himself out of the Banner Promotions contract. And
I just want to stop you there and say, people don't get out those contracts.
No.
Historically, it took the money from Roc Nation for Boo Boo to get out of his and Court. Chris Algieri, poor God rest, I mean, he ain't even dead, but I was about to say that because of his career, God rest his soul. He ain't been able to get out.
Yeah.
Matchroom wanted him full, like, completely, but he still got that Artie Palullo Banner Promotions attached.
I'm going to say this, and this is, like, just wanted. Art Palullo's my guy. And if you are straight up with Art, then he's going to be straight up with you. Now, if you try to bullshit Artie and he figure it out, then, yeah, he's going to give you bullshit back, but Art and I never had any type of spat or back and forth. I've listened to him. He's listened to me. So when I made the call about Gio, I didn't say, hey, Art, like, do me this favor. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm helping out the kid, man, just trying to. And Art was serious. Like, yo, I haven't put any money to the kid. I don't know much about him. I did it as a favor for someone else. But, you know, if you want him to get released, like, tell him to call me, and I'll give him his release. And Gio did exactly what I told him to do, and he got his release. But Art Palullo has been very good to me, but I know he's an old-school guy. Like, if you bullshit Art or you try to fuck him over, he going to get you either inside of Court or outside of it. So respect to Art Palullo for keeping his word to Gio, but that was the start of Gio getting, you know what I'm saying, the opportunity to.
So he wasn't co-promoted by Star. It was
It was just straight.
That's probably why he was able to get
out. Yeah, I'm about to say because the other
Chris
cat.
Algieri and Andre, they both was like mixed with Star and Artie Palullo together.
Yeah, and that goes back to every time I hear it, I'm gonna go back to that's what representation is for. And I think Chris Algieri is a very smart individual. A lot of these guys are smart individuals. It's just when it comes to your paperwork, man. I love Straight Outta Compton. Like regardless of what people think about Suge Knight, Suge was instrumental and getting a lot of guys out of their contracts. And you always say, yo, like, let me see your paperwork. And that's what I'm big on. Like, yo, let me see your contract. Like, I'll be able to give you better direction on what you can and can't do once I see your paperwork. And that's someone that's knowledgeable in the business. Jolene is knowledgeable in the business. We see your contract. We can let you know what you can and can't do. There's so many other people out here, like, perpetrating high side. Like, they know this industry. Like, they know the contracts. And they're giving bad advice to these fighters. I think if Algieri and other guys that end up in bad contracts had our advice before even getting into it, they'd be in a much better spot, especially trying to sign with two different promoters and shit like that. So, but Gio got out of the contract, able to go be a sparring partner for Manny Pacquiao to get ready for Errol Spence. And from that, he got signed with with top rank for three fights. Why they didn't sign him back, I'm hearing conflicting stories of an argument based off of Gio missing weight the first fight. There was a disagreement with, I think, his representation, Brad Goodman, whatever it may be. But for whatever reason, they didn't sign him back. And I feel like they still could have used him, even if it was from an opponent standpoint, to build him up, to feed him to one of their 35s or whatever. There were still moves there to be made for them not to do it. And then once we took over, I thought, really, okay, Jolene and I are tight with Brad. Like, it's a go. And it still wasn't a go. I'm like, okay, what did you do to them? Or what did you say to them for them to be like, nah? So we're actively trying to get something big for Gio, man. And as I told you on via text about the Matchroom situation, like, we actually got a on-paper offer from Matchroom. And just, I think, was it last week, we got word that they're pulling on the deal. So it's like he's still – free. And, you know, him and Maxie Hughes, I think Maxie Hughes is with Matchroom. Maxie Hughes and Gio have been going back and forth.
I thought that fight was happening.
You and me both, man. You and me both. I know Jolene feels the same. We thought the fight was happening. And I don't know what's up with Matchroom. And I know Kevin Rooney's been vocal with Jolene on what they're trying to do and whatnot. But I'm not the social media internet guy that's like adding people and shit like that. It's like, bro, I'll go behind the scenes to see what we can work out. But for whatever reason, they pulled on that deal, man. So we're trying to bend some corners and circle back on some things to try to get Gio with a big company. Cause I feel like his last outing against Flores, even though I think Flores was spiraling anyway, Gio showed that, you know, he can scrap. So we'll see what we can pull together for him.
For sure. So you haven't mentioned PBC, how's the relationship with PBC and Fighter First Management?
I really don't think there is like a relationship. I haven't talked to Brad and Sylvia in a while. I don't really think there is a relationship. I think Jolene and Sylvia probably have a better relationship than me and Sylvia or Brad at this point. But I'll say this. Would we sign one of our clients to Premier Boxing Champions? From my standpoint, like, Premier Boxing Champions is just a staple. It's not a promotional company. So talk about the paperwork. I would need to know, okay, are we signing with TGB or are we signing with Kings, or what promoter are we actually signing with? Who are we going to be negotiating with in regards to how these fights are going to go? With respect to what PBC's done, I feel like they've done some great things, a lot of great things in the sport of boxing. I don't go with the model of there's no plan, there's no blueprint. And I'd definitely be damned if we don't know how much our clients are going to make until the week of the fight or the day of the weigh-in. Like, we don't rock that way. I know I definitely don't rock that way. So there'd have to be a lot of conversation for us to do business like with that side, because again, they're not a promotional company. They've become a staple in the sport of boxing. I would have loved for everybody, all the promoters, to get under the PBC model, for it to flow like an association. That didn't happen, but I'd have to know what promoter we're signing with, and the paperwork would have to make sense for anything of that nature to happen with PBC. Respect to them, but I got a way I do business, and Jolene has a way she does business also, and we line up that way, and I don't think PBC falls under that line.
I take it you wouldn't be allowing any of your fighters to accept no guarantees in a fight.
No guarantees?
No guaranteed money. Up front?
As far as a paper.
I mean, how much did you follow the failed negotiations with Terrence and Earl? Not at all?
I'll tell you this, man. I don't They believe half of what you see, none of what you heard. I wasn't a part of that negotiation. You know what I'm saying? So based off of what homie was saying, and then based off of what, like, I didn't follow the he say, she say thing, because, like, I'm a behind-the-scenes guy. I know that sometimes what's reported to the media is not what went on behind the scenes, man. So I don't hear things and automatically jump on that train to follow it. But if that were the case of, like, no guarantees, it's just strictly off of just pay-per-view, like, whatever you guys, you eat what you kill, essentially. That's a sit-down between, like, my client and the team to map out the positives, the negatives of taking a no guarantee or whatever. We have to get really strategic. But off the top of my head, it's like, no. Like, you have to give me some type of guarantee to take the fight, and then the rest will make up from there. But just absolutely no guarantee. It's like, where they do that at? Like, I would have to. So, no. Off the top of my head, no, I would not do it. But if the fighter's like, yo, fuck it, make this fight happen. Whatever we need to do, make the fight happen. We'll make it up on the back end. Then I'll go get it done. But me, I would say no off the top of my head.
Have you heard of Pistol Pete, not the rapper?
Dobson?
Yes, sir.
I know Pete very well.
So you've read some contracts? Is he straight? Is he available? Like,
got to holler at Pete on that, man. Me and Pete have history. Back when Real Deal Promotions, when Evander Holyfield had his and Eric Bentley was running things over there. Shout out to Eric Bentley. But yeah, me and Pete got history, man. So Jolene told me she hollered at him because he's trained by Andre Rozier. So I know about homie, but.
Nothing yet. Harold Calderon. Have you heard of him?
No.
From Florida. No. Latino kid, 27-0.
Mm. Is one of your guys?
No.
Gotcha.
I can't say he's one of mine, but we've definitely interviewed him. And him and Pistol Pete have some back and forth. It's like a fight, welterweight fight that could be made. Two undefeated dudes that no network hasn't picked up. Just, you know, seeing. He's been doing the runs, trying to get on his media tour. You know, Errol Spence responded on a couple of his posts, you know, called them low risk and low reward.
Low risk, low reward.
Yeah, that sounds about right. He said that to the kid in Florida? Or
nah,
to
like Dobson? Somebody mentioned them. Man, maybe like Kendrick Perkins. It was some big. It was like one of the like a big NBA motherfucker mentioned them. Mentioned Earl and Keith like stop ducking my boy.
And then Earl was
like, yo, your boy's like low risk, low reward. Like, fuck, I'm fighting him for it.
Right.
I'm trying to think.
But he's a welterweight that, like, you know, we had him in here, and he's like, look, I make 15, 20K fighting whoever in my hometown. Now, how much he's inflating that, right. We don't know. But right. He looks fine. He looks the part. He's got the wins. And, yeah, you know, just putting you on in case he's out there.
Gotcha.
Now, have you heard of Serafina?
Yes, I know. I've heard of Serafina.
Did she ever cross your mind in terms of bringing her on for Fighter First? No?
No.
Y'all never interacted?
Yeah, I actually I've talked to Sarah via phone a couple of times, and then when I believe it was it Cotto Canelo out here in Vegas? That was my first time actually meeting her, but there's not been any conversations of her joining Fighters First. Like,
I'm only asking because I think she's extremely talented. Like, I don't know if you've seen what she's done, but I don't know how she does it.
Gotcha.
She just had that girl, McKellid, in an undisputed fight with Alicia Baumgartner. And right. Before that, Melissa Hernandez in a unification fight with Michaela Mir. And the list goes on and on. Paul Bamba was in a Jake Paul fight. It's like, how is she doing it?
I know. I mean, I think she was with, was it Cohen?
She used to be with Greg Cohen.
She was with Greg Cohen. I've had talks with her, man. She's a pretty cool individual. But as far as, like, doing business with her, like, I haven't had the opportunity to do that. And we've never had talks of, like, working together. But I definitely know the name.
For sure. So what's next, man, for Fighters First Management? Like, what is the plan for 2023?
Just get the main thing is to get everyone signed with a promotional company. Right, that's the main thing. It makes our job easier when we have the fighters signed with a promotional company. That way, they know when they're fighting and, you know, what their minimums are and things of that nature. So that's our objective for the remainder of the year. And then, you know, from my standpoint as the CEO of the company, you know, you gotta make sure things are profitable, make sure the visibility is there, and make sure things are coming in from, I always say, thickening the revenue stream. Like, we gotta thicken the fuck out of that stream. So, you know, that's my focal point as chief executive officer of the company. Of course, recruiting has been fun. Like, I had fun recruiting all six, and some of them, like Sean McCallman from Denver. It's kind of like Sean hit me up a couple of months ago.
That's the newest signing you got.
Yeah, and it's like it wasn't a hard recruit. Like he did great work with Sergei Kovalev, like great work with Sergei. Sergei was even impressed with the type of work that Sean gave him, and, you know, we were able to bring him in. He actually just signed a multi-year deal with Main Events, the company that Sergei and, of course, Jolene were once with. So I think Sean is going to surprise a lot of people at 68. But I've had fun just recruiting everybody, man. And, again, although I'm not managing, just being back on that trail, man, and being able to sit down with the fighters and their families. And now I got a good recruiting tool with Protect Yourself at All Times. And the company reflects the book. It's not like I'm selling you the book to get you to come in with the company. And then it's like, wait, what you're talking about in the book is not what the company stands for, not what this contract says. Everything I talk about in that book, the company reflects that. So that's a refreshing thing. And it's easy for me because it's like I wouldn't be able to sleep. I wouldn't be able to do this shit if what I'm talking about in the book didn't reflect in the company, man. So I feel like that is going to be another tool that takes us over the top, but I'm happy with things where they're right now, and I'm confident, bro. But before this year's over with, we'll be recognized as one of the top companies for sure.
So Dobson hit me back. He's a free agent. He said he's supposed to meet with Jolene this week.
I hear you.
Wait a minute. Why you saying it like that?
What's up, Pete? I ain't got the same number no more, but I'm on IG. Holler at me, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah, they do. They do. He asked him, don't they work together? All right. Well, you know, that's one half of the fight, though. And I was going to ask, though, how do you go about it? Like, before you sign someone, would you rather be sure you could get them to a promoter or...
But the work comes in as a manager, man. Like, there's no guarantees on nothing. So it's like, I think that's like kind of taking the easy way out of saying, oh, well, we're only going to sign you if we know we have a promoter that's going to, like, bring you on. But no, once you see the talent, once you see the marketability, like, I think about Justin Figueroa. Justin Figueroa is now, I think he's 3-0, 2-0, out of Atlantic City. He was first guy to come with us. And he read Protect Yourself at All Times. And I'm going back and forth with him on IG. And currently, like, he's not signed with a promoter, but he sells like crazy in Atlantic City. But when I looked at his IG, and, of course, you know, I'm comfortable who I am. Very good-looking kid. Like, he's like almost
a person. Yeah, I went through the IG yesterday. That's the guy with all the muscles. He's like a fitness trainer and a boxer,
He's a lifeguard.
Okay.
Lifeguard. But I'm like, yo, if he fights as good as he looks, we got something with this. And I'm like, Joe, like, he's in Atlantic City. Like, go holler at him and see what type of person he is. And if it makes sense, let's go with it. And she met with him, and she's like, yo, I love him. Like, let's do this. And, you know, we've had talks with Kathy, and I had talks with Rob Diaz before he left Golden Boy about Justin Figueroa. But he's someone that, like, I was adamant about bringing on, and there was no promotional behind it. It's just when people – and I'm not comparing him at all to Ryan Garcia, but – you know, Ryan Garcia is a good-looking kid that can fight. Justin Figueroa is a good-looking kid that can fight, and he's out of Atlantic City, which was one of the biggest fight cities at one time. So, you know, Justin kind of revived that. That'll be great for him, but he doesn't have a promotional company behind him. We're still working at that, but I don't base things off of, if they got a promoter, then, like, or if they got interest in a promoter, I'll sign them. Like, no, like, if you got the look or if you can actually scrap, and there's something there, I'm going to work with you, and I'll work on the back end. Jolene will work on the back end to make sure something happens for you. But, no, I don't look for the easy way in regards to this.
So you said he can revive AC. You think that is physically possible from any fighter?
I would love for – I mean, I don't know where Kathy sits in regards to, like, promotions. Like, you asked me earlier, like was I still hungry? I'm 36. Like, I'm still relatively young. And I've only been in business 13 years. You're damn right. I'm so fucking hungry. Kathy's been in business longer than I've been alive. So, you know, I don't know where Kathy's hunger is at, but I do really feel that Justin Figueroa would be huge in Atlantic City. And I would love for Kathy to dig deep, whether it's in pockets or in our heart or in our connections, to make sure that this kid revives Atlantic City.
On television.
Yes.
Like, you think a network will go back down there?
Yes. Like, just like I feel HBO will eventually come back, like, to boxing. It's just the point of making it make sense, man. If you can make it make sense, these things are possible.
I want HBO. I wish. That's what happened.
You
they
know, the problem is that the problem is that, like, I too believe HBO comes back, but you're going to have guys like yourself that the expectations is going to be the HBO vote.
Yeah. The Rob Greenberg days.
And it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Lou DiBella days.
There is, you know, innovation and things like, bro, it'll never be what it once was.
I think you got to have, and that's the great thing I learned about David Basher, the guy that started Fighters First. He was smart enough to understand, okay, I'm a wealthy individual, but my money's not going to do this for me. Let me bring on the right people. Let me bring on boxing people to make this thing run for me. And I feel like with HBO, like, you know, like I said, I don't know if Lou is even interested in going back, but you need a boxing person, someone that's actually been in this shit before that knows it, to bring things back. And then you need young blood. I really do feel like boxing is a very ancient sport, and we have a lot of dinosaurs walking around here, guys that just want to stay with how they did it 20, 30, 40 years ago.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, that
you know, innovation is needed. I think adapting, like,
yeah.
Bro, nobody wants change if the shit works. And I'm one of those people. Like, what the fuck we changing for? The shit works.
Yeah. You know
what I'm saying? But sometimes it's needed. It's important.
Yeah.
And I think that if people can get with new times, you know, maybe HBO can come back, have success. Look, man, I've been in this sport only a handful of years, and I'm like, yeah. Like, for me, it's already in my head. I'm like, I'm never going to AC for a fight. For what? What fight bringing me to AC?
Word. Mm. Especially in the winter.
Gotcha.
And let me tell you, I'm a Sopranos guy, bro. I want to go to AC.
Yeah.
But it's like,
not me.
Realistically speaking, what fight bringing me to AC?
Gotcha.
Earl Spence, Terrence Crawford.
In AC.
What venue in AC?
Venue? The Hard Rock.
Ain't the Rebel still there?
I'm not sure. I know Hard Rock. That's what I...
How many people that hold, though?
It ain't holding enough for Earl Spence, Terrence Crawford fight. But you got to start somewhere, man. And if we can start with a Justin Figueroa.
That'd be great.
Like,
you know?
You got to start. I think sometimes people, they...
But speaking of starting somewhere, wouldn't it have been better to keep him free agent then and rock out with Rising Star Promotions? I see he was doing fights with him already. And let's be real. Cornflake LaMont is way more active than main events, especially in Atlantic City. Like, he got a show every week on Showboat.
Yeah.
Bally's Casino.
Yeah, and, you know, in respect to Cornflake, man, we've been connected for a few years, but, like, and I'm not pushing him to the side or knocking him. It's just, like, when I say Kathy Duva, it's a Hall of Fame name that has years of promotions in Atlantic City. Hell, the company's based out of Jersey. I play with that as a headline fix for... it to work for not only Justin, but just Atlantic City, the Hard Rock, main events, all of that. But even if it was Cornflake, like, I wouldn't be opposed to that, because he does a lot of work out in Atlantic City. So, and I think Justin's first two fights were on Cornflake's card. So, yeah.
I was gonna say, Adrian, because all respect to Kathy, but I ain't heard the last time they had a show. Let me tell you, And I hear about Cornflake shit one way or another.
Yeah.
Somebody on his shows is somebody that I know of.
Yeah.
Like, he always has somebody, at least two fighters I've heard of on his shows always.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotta get it somehow.
I wanted to bring up, because you keep saying if you got the skill or if you got the look. Let me get a screenshot. Okay. So. Who's this young lady who definitely has the look? USA Boxing, I'm assuming.
Sharaya.
She's got the skill. You signed her. When do we see her? Is she not turning pro? What's going on? Why you haven't brought her up and let me bring her up? What's going on?
Who's bringing? Are y'all going to bring up the picture that I'm looking at? I just saw a picture. I thought it was going to come up on the screen.
Oh,
my bad.
Nah.
No, you know, I met Shariah at the...
We're good on the screen share. Thank you, Nestor.
I met her at the USA Nationals in 2021, I believe it was. Met her dad first, then I met Shariah. Shariah can go, and Shariah has both the look and the... You know, we actually, I text her on the way over here. We have a very interesting deal for Shariah that I set up with one of my former business partners. I'm going to put some pressure on Shariah right now. I'm pretty sure this is going to get back to her. We need to know what you're going to do in regards to that deal, because not only is it lucrative for you, it's very beneficial for you to start your professional career and take it to the next level where you're built up in one place to where you can draw a big following behind you, but you will have a, and I know I'm talking to y'all right now, but I'm also talking to Shariah because she needs to,
go for it.
Someone needs to hear this, but it changes not only your life, but it changes your dynamic in this boxing thing to where it provides opportunity for you inside the ring and outside the ring. I guarantee you guys, and I'm guaranteeing Shariah, there's no other individual in boxing that has that setup like the one that I've presented to her that will take care of her inside the ring and outside the ring. So definitely going to need an answer on that offer pretty
soon. What weight class is she?
She's probably at 54.
154?
Shariah's tall, and she's tall and long, bro. Like, when I first met her, I flew out to New Mexico, like, to just sit with her.
Jesus, I didn't think she was that
big. Oh, no, man, no, she's... Like, she is long. I thought I was going to spar one day. I'm trying to cut this weight down. But, man, she is rangy. If she could put the punches and bunches behind that range, man, she's going to be something to deal with. But she's a beautiful girl, but she can fight ugly with the best of them. But I'll tell you one thing. I saw one of her fights. We're actually on YouTube where she fought higher up in weight against a German young lad. I think it was Germany. And she got stopped against the German fighter, a bigger fighter, more experience. But she kept getting up. Even when she was getting hit with big shots, like Shariah kept coming, she kept trying to fight. And even after that, like, she still fought. That was the one thing that really sold me on her. Like, you see the best of someone, it's like, oh, man, your imagination takes you. But I was able to see her in a light of, okay, damn, like, she got stopped in this fight, but she kept coming. Like, I'm like, yo, this is someone I really want to work with.
It's funny that you say that's what you saw in her. I seen Mexican and Puerto Rican. I said, we got a star. She even connected it. She calls herself the Pueblo Rican.
Yeah.
Bro, what are we waiting for? But yeah. 154, that's kind of tough. She might, is there anyone at 54 for her to?
Plenty.
Yeah.
I mean, Clarissa fought at 54.
But that's one-offs.
I mean, Natasha's there. I mean, I think it's easy in women's boxing because it could kind of bounce around a little bit.
Hmm.
But yeah, waiting on Shariah. Now I know she's.
How long ago did you sign her?
Excuse me. I think Shariah was second after Justin signed. So this was last year because she didn't want to just sit. So she wanted to do one more amateur tournament, which I loved before she turned pro. So she fought in another amateur tournament. I think it was the Nationals, matter of fact, and to someone. And she was very pissed off about that. I'm like, listen, you're getting ready for the pro ranks. I'm not worried about a split in amateur boxing. But it's about that time. But, like, business has to be handled. Shariah's 23 years old, and it's a difficult transition, whether it's female or male, going from amateur to professional boxing. And then with the offer that she's been hit with, I mean, it's life-changing, and then it uproots her from one place to another. So it's a lot for a 23-year-old young woman who's coming from the amateurs to make. But
where is she from?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And it would take her where?
It would bring her to Texas. It
would bring her to train with Derek? That's a yes.
I'm not getting into that, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
I see that a lot. Why do managers... And I mean, don't take this offensively, but like, why do managers want to take away the trainer? Like, it's like, yo, I'm investing in you, so you got to train with so and so.
But here's the thing, I'm not, because I mean, I went through her dad to represent her. I'm not trying to take away anything from sometimes call him, from OG, I call him Pops. I'm not trying to take anything away from Pops. That's his older, that's his baby girl. So I'm not.
Oh, so the father's the trainer.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's different, though.
No, it's really not different because it's like, you know, he's the one that pretty much put the gloves in her crib. It taught her how to box. You know, Shirai lost her mom in a car accident.
Oh, wow.
That she was in the car with her mom. So her dad has
like,
raised all of them. So it's a lot more than just, you know, we're trying to, like, get,
damn.
Like, there's a lot that comes with that. You know, so I understand why it's difficult for her to make this decision. And I'm not trying to move Pops out the way. It's just the window of opportunity.
But can you take the family or no? Like, is she getting an apartment or is she getting
a house? No, that's something that, you know, can be discussed. And we did discuss as far as, like, relocation goes. I remember asking, like, yo, can you relocate your job? Can you work anywhere in the world? Because if so, then, you know, look into that relocation. But the way, you know, I'm methodical with it, man. I wouldn't have done this blindly. I wanted to make sure that things were lined up for the family structure. So even if it doesn't work perfectly in the beginning, man, this is a great start for her. And it provides, again, something inside and outside the ring. The outside the ring thing for me is important because, bro, everybody don't make it in boxing.
Like, no, it's the 1%.
Yeah, especially like female fighters. Like, you're not making millions of dollars per fight. So it's like you have to make sure that you have something set up outside the ring. And that's what I'm trying to structure, not only for her, but in the following months, man, you'll read a lot about opportunities coming from Fighters First to guys that have fought before and that are still active in the sport of boxing, man. So, yeah, it's important.
And so are you doing it more as protecting an investment or you and Derek that cool that you want him to check that box? Because it's like...
In regards to what?
Training a female.
No, man, where you going with this?
You know I'm pulling teeth.
No, man, I didn't say nothing about that. Derek is a very busy man. Derek, you know...
And he ain't going to have time for a 154-pound female?
I don't know. Right, I don't know how...
Kind of fits in the camp.
I don't know how D got in this conversation, but...
I mean, why else would you be moving her to Texas? But all right.
Opportunity, all right. Man.
We'll
Derek is not.
We'll move on, but not really. We're going to move on, but not really. So speaking of Derek, have you happened to see AJ in there? Did you see, is AJ, how's he like in Dallas?
It's, I wish, and it's something I told AJ and Derek. Derek knows this already. I wish AJ would have captured Derek in his 20s, man. Like the way he looks now, and he's only been there couple weeks, but man, he looks, it's crazy to see someone that big, like move that fast, but he looks amazing with Derek. And if he can get this down, again, he's 33. I wish he would have captured Derek in his 20s, man, because he looks amazing, but real cool dude, man. I didn't think he was going to be as cool as he's been, given that, you know, he's a megastar in the sport. And then you come into a new city, new trainer and new environment, but no, he's been really dope. His team is dope. You know what I'm saying? Ben, Nas, and his guys. But no, he looks great. I'm excited to see him on April 1st because it'll show how much of a genius in boxing that Derek really is in regards to training.
I mean, but it won't be complete without that female champ.
That's a conversation to be had, man. That's a conversation to be had, but. Not with Shariah, not to my knowledge.
All right, so I think there was one more I wanted to bring up. Let me see if I can remember. Tried to do my research, man. Oh, man.
What's the next fight you look forward to?
To be honest, man, I got so many different – I'll be like really clear. I got so many different projects right now between
– Oh, yes. Sorry, Danny. Thank you. No, he was just buying me time. Justin Paolo, what's up? We was just in Dallas. What was it? Houston, Dallas. One of them.
Houston.
And
Houston.
He told me he's with you too, but nothing
he just,
yet.
He
what's
just
up?
Fought. He just fought. He fought on Cornflake's card.
Okay.
Yeah, he fought on Cornflake's card.
Because I hit him up. I hit him up yesterday. Like, what's up? No date. And he's like, nah.
You know,
he
got cut in that fight. He fought a guy that was 6-1. That was pretty good. He got cut in the second round, I believe it was. And you know, he had been off. For a while,
but he was locked in though. He was training with Ryan.
Oh yeah. But you know that ring rust still exists, man. You know what I'm saying? So that 2 years being off, It showed in the beginning of the fight. But he got a good win. Excuse me. But that cut, you know, got to wait for that cut to heal. There's been a lot of offers for Justin as far as, like, fights go. But just the money never just makes sense. The kid is skilled enough to fight against any of the guys that's been offered, but it's like the reward has to make sense, man. So I would have loved to with PBC associated with him, whatever it may be. I would have loved for him to land with a top rank, but I understand how they pick. But it's like, yo, well, run one of your guys then. Run one of your 35s that you think. And I think with Justin, man, the way he trains and his mindset, dude is a killer. So I'm excited for him. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people on his journey. But, yeah, he's healing from that cut, and he'll definitely be back within if not the first quarter this year, the second quarter for sure.
Well, Adrian, that is all our questions. We do have this young amateur outside ready to come inside. He's going to be doing his first Golden Gloves national tournament. It's a junior, but we'll introduce you to him in case he blows up. You can cut some promo, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Can I get a picture of this, man? This
yeah. We're going to take a picture in front of that.
All right, just give us 1 second. We're going to be ready in a second.
What's up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview. For all you fighters and wannabe promoters, you got educated. But now, like we always say, big, little, small, we interview them all, and we have Jesse the Nightmare Torres in the building along with his father, Jesse Torres Sr. How you guys doing?
Good. I'm doing very good. How are you doing?
Yo, Danny, so I just want to tell you, see, this is why I do it. This is a special moment. His father took him out of school to bring him here. I'm like, yo, y'all not coming? He's like, well, you didn't tell us. He's in school. I'm like, oh, shit, we'll do it after when he comes back from the tour. He's like, nah, I'm taking him out of school. And I love that, man. I love that. Listen, I was just watching, before we came here, we were just watching Carmel, what is it, Moulton?
Yeah.
He's 16. He ain't in school because he's training, because they believe in his talent. You understand? I'm not saying take your children out of school for all the PC police. I'm just saying when the kid has talent, the kid has talent. And Jesse, you seem to be one of those children that have some skill. This will be your first national tournament, though, right? And this is a youth tournament.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us, man, why did you get into this sport? Because I hear it was pretty recent.
Well, yeah, because I've been doing sports my whole life. First, I started doing soccer, and then I went to football. But after a while, I didn't really like the team. I just wanted to win myself and get
I'm with you,
myself.
Man. I'm with you. I played baseball when I was a kid, and it's like, you know, you can't win unless your team is good.
Yeah.
So no matter how good you are, the team got to be just as good. This is not a team sport, even though you do have a corner and a team. But in the ring, you got to do it yourself, man. How's that been, that transition from having help, having a team, to just being alone?
I feel like it's better being alone, because it's a matter about all my hard work, not anybody else's hard work, and the work I put in, and I've been winning. And that's what I love.
How long you been fighting now?
For like 2.5 years.
Okay. How many fights you got so far?
Like, I have 12. I have 12.
Oh, wow. And so far, how many wins?
11.
11 wins. Okay. So when is this tournament, champ?
The tournament is actually this week. It's on Thursday.
Wow. So you guys leaving out, right? Where is it happening?
It's happening in Missouri.
Oh, wow. Missouri. Okay. Okay. So are you nervous?
No, not really. I'm actually excited. I'm really excited to go.
You look excited. What's making you so excited about it? What is it?
It's just I love being in the ring and the spotlight on me. I just love it all.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's good, because a lot of fighters can't deal with the spotlight. And you are thriving under the lights. That's good. So, Pops, man, tell me, why did he take up boxing so late?
Oh, like he said, you know, he played football. We were in love with football.
A little closer to the mic.
You know, we follow football a lot. So,
pick up the mic. Get a little closer. Yeah.
Yeah. So our thing was football 24/7. We watch football. We sleep football. We practice. You know, that was us since he was like seven and a half. So after the pandemic hit, he decided he wants to go to the gym and do boxing. So I said, all right, let's do it. And after a while, seeing him train and putting in the work, the effort, so I said, you know what? I sat down with him and I said, listen, do you want to just keep training just to do something, or you want to compete? So he said, I want to compete to the highest level. So I said, all right, let's work on that then, and that's where we're at.
Now, the funny story is that you have your own gym. So are you telling me before he got involved in boxing, you were not involved in boxing?
No, not at all. Like, not involved. I was just pretty much, you know, like I said, I was a football dad. I was coaching him with football. And I only opened up the gym because
of him.
Of him. Yeah.
Holy shit.
I want to give him the opportunity that maybe a lot of kids don't have out there, you know. And
bro, that's a state-of-the-art facility, though. Like, you went all out for your son. Do you feel pressure? That's a big-ass gym.
That's why I work as hard as I can, because I know that my dad built this all for me, so I can't let it go to waste.
Wow. That's an amazing – I didn't know that. I thought maybe you were a trainer before, and that's why – so you – what influenced boxing? Like, if you were football and not a coach – How did you even get introduced to it? Where did you watch it at?
Well, usually, like, we'll always watch boxing, too. So, like, it was just already, like, there. It's just matter of fact if I went or not.
Hmm. Okay, so you guys watched it on TV.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of a traditional Mexican household. Is it Mexican?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Danny, he's talking about football. I mean, I'm waiting for you to ask him some football questions, like what position? What position did you play?
Me, I played quarterback.
Oh wow! Oh, so you were good.
How long did you play soccer? Because honestly, that was.
You're more interested in soccer.
I mean, because I feel like that's what applies to boxing, not football. So I was more interested in that because of the footwork, obviously.
Stamina too.
Definitely the stamina. But how long did you play soccer for?
Soccer, I played for like 3 years but it was when I was small.
Oh, so you were more of a football player.
So 3 years soccer, how many years football?
Years, let me see, like 5 or 6 years football.
Okay. Dad, any fear? Soccer, then football, now boxing. Any fear that 3 years from now, he's like, I don't want to do that anymore either?
No, not at all. Like, he was like, when he was smaller, I mean, he's small right now because I'm small, you know, but he was smaller when he was growing up. So at first, that's where I wanted to start him at, you know, since he was a baby, he always liked sports. He'll grab like a football, basketball, baseball, you know. He always looked like it was a kid that wanted to be in sports. He enjoyed playing all the time. So, you know, I started with soccer, obviously, because, you know, I wanted to build his footwork first. You know what I mean? And then go from there. I waited for him to grow a little bit taller so I could be able to put him in football. And we actually, we had our own camp too, you know, when we went to football. And we built the Sin City Raiders back in 2016 before they moved here. And we had our own camp with NYFL. And that's where.
Oh, wow.
And you put that together?
The team together? Yeah, I put the team together too.
So basically,
you're a very hands-on father, man. Say, congratulations, man.
Anything?
I mean, you know, a lot of people don't get to grow up with a father this involved and that wants to help their son, achieve every goal that they have. So, you know, congratulations not only to you for being a great dad, but to you for having one, man. You were saying, I'm sorry.
I have no fucking clue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do that to him a lot. He gets upset a lot. But you are in the sport. You do want to compete, and you got a tournament coming up. How do you guys find fights? How's it work in the amateur system?
Basically, you know, you have a membership with U.S. Boxing, and then on your membership, they pretty much, you can just go and see all the events that are happening in the States, and you can just sign up to any event. And then,
so why Missouri? Why'd you guys choose Missouri?
Because it's a tournament that actually you got to go through a certain steps. So first you got to win the state, then you got to win the regionals. And so we did that. So that's why now we're going to nationals.
That's pretty dope, yeah, man. Yeah. I'd be excited. So how long are you guys going to be out there for?
Well, we're going to be there until Sunday.
Okay. A couple days.
The tournament starts on Thursday. So.
And have you gone like to different states for your amateur fights already?
Yeah, I've gone to California, and I've gone to where else? Just I think California. That's it.
Okay, so it's definitely the furthest.
Yeah, I'm glad. I like to travel. So
yeah, definitely get some experience, get some looks from different parts of the country.
So Dad, did you have a plan? Or are you just taking it one day at a time with your son and his amateur career and whatever's to come forward?
No, most definitely. We have a plan, you know, and we want to take it one step at a time so we can be able to accomplish, you know. So it's mostly him, you know. I'm just giving him the tools for him to be able to be successful easier, you know.
Do you care if he turns pro or not? Is your... I guess, ambition, whatever his is, or do you have your own goals in your mind for him to achieve?
To be honest, it's honestly up to him. I'm gonna be with him and go with him up to wherever he wants to. The day that he tells me, I don't want to do this anymore, then that's okay with me, because you know what? Up to this point, I'm very proud of him for all his accomplishments and, you know, I never really thought, I actually did know that he's real, like, he likes to challenges, you know, he likes to challenges, the big boys. When we play football, I'll put him against way bigger kids, you know, and he always race up to the challenge. So I know he can do more than he does every day. He's always challenging himself every day. I think, and the only thing I always tell him is, like, you gotta be able to beat your own self every day. You know what I mean? If you can beat that person in front of the mirror every day, then you can beat anybody out there.
So, obviously, I got to see you work a little bit, but, you know, sparring is different from regular work. But from you just being in the gym, it seems like you're a very high-output fighter. Would you say that you throw a lot of punches?
Yeah, I definitely throw a lot of punches.
What would you say is your go-to punch? What's your favorite punch?
My favorite punch is probably the overhand right.
Okay. How you setting that up?
I be setting it up, like, first I jab him up, and then I jab him down, and then I get him to flinch down again, and then I come up on top.
Nice.
I like this kid.
So as a Mexican, though, they love the left hook. Have you been practicing your left hook?
Yes, I've been practicing my left hook with my coach.
In the regionals, he used that left hook a lot. Yeah. It was pretty nice, yeah.
So you doubling it yet or singles?
Double.
Oh, wow. Okay. So are you actively watching, like, pro boxing on the weekends or whenever it's on and you watch it?
No, I watch it, like, almost every day.
Oh, wow. So you got favorites?
Not, like, they're not really my, like, favorites. I just watch them to study.
Who do you like studying?
I like to watch Pacquiao.
Okay.
And also Shakur Stevenson, too. Mm,
good pick. You're not southpaw, though, right? I feel like I've seen you orthodox.
Yeah, I'm orthodox. I don't know why, but I love watching the southpaw.
Yeah, no, he's super talented, man. Shakur is great. Who else do you like watching?
I be watching Ryan Garcia, too.
Hmm.
And then sometimes I be watching Lomachenko.
Good footwork. What is it about Loma that you like?
I like how he, like, he pivots outside and he just moving everywhere where they can't, like, seem to find where he's at.
And about Shakur?
Shakur, I love the, like, the boxing, how he keeps the nice distance and, you know, his defense too and everything.
Yeah, he's definitely super duper sound. Yeah, man. So do you think you want to be a professional? Do you think you just want to go to the Olympics? What are your goals in boxing?
Yeah, I'm trying to be a professional boxer. I'm trying to at least, I want to be a world champion, an undisputed champion.
And all the work that it takes to be a fighter, it's not bothering you? You don't get tired of, like, having to go to the gym and be there for 2-3 hours? Is this...
No, I love the gym. I'll be there. I wouldn't be in school if I could stay out of school. I'll be in the gym all day.
Damn. I hear you, man. You got to be in that gym if you want to be good.
Word.
What would you say your style is similar to? Like, if you had to put it, match it with a person that's active right now, like a professional.
My style, I feel like it's more like, I feel like it's right like Ryan Garcia, but like a shorter. If he was shorter.
So you're fast.
Yeah.
Okay. You got that knockout power?
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. So have you actually knocked someone out?
Knocked someone out? Nah.
Oh. Okay. I'll
with body shots, yeah.
Body shots, you bring them down.
Yeah, with body shots, but
that's,
like not
that's
a
knocked out.
For sure.
Okay. Not a straight, like, clean, boom, they fall on the floor.
Yeah. So what's the worst part about boxing?
The worst part? The worst part is probably just, like, whenever a fight's coming, like, you can't be eating all that stuff. Like junk food or anything.
Mm-hmm. Damn, so it's just the food. I was expecting something that was like, the miles or, you know, I don't know, a certain exercise. So none of the exercises bother you.
This kid, you can't stop him, man. I don't know where he gets that energy. It's just like, you know, you cannot work this kid, man.
Wow.
He can go forever. He runs up the mountain and the mountain Charleston too, you know, like a pro does. You know,
getting that road work in.
How many times a week do you run?
Me, I run mostly every day. Even after my workouts, I either go on the treadmill or just run around the building.
Wow. Wow, man. I'm impressed, man. So are there tickets available? Is there some way that we can watch it if we're not going? Or is it you got to be there to watch it?
I don't know if they're streaming it, to be honest. I don't know. Maybe U.S. Boxing is streaming it, but we are going to be streaming it through our Instagram.
Yeah. Cool. And what is your social media for anybody that isn't following you can do so and know how to watch your fight?
My Instagram is @official_TeamTorres.
And that also would say Jesse the Nightmare Torres. So it says you've already won Silver Glove State Champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the regional. That's why you're in the nationals. Nice.
Right.
All right. So who have you worked with out here in Las Vegas? What weight are you?
114.
Ooh, that's too small. Kramel's 125. You never sparred him, right?
No.
Have you seen him?
No.
No? What? I'm going to send this to your Instagram right now. How you never seen him? Bro, he's I just got to see him spar right now. I couldn't believe it. I was 16 years old. I can't believe that he was in there with a grown man. It's crazy. Have you sparred men yet, or are you still sparring people your age?
No, I sparred people like grown-ups. Yeah.
Okay. How's that been? Were you nervous at first, or were you more excited because it's like, yeah, I finally get to beat up on an adult?
Well, yeah, I was actually nervous at first, but, like, it just keeps my guard up and make sure, like, to stay sharpened all the time and watch what they throw, because they be having, like, stronger power than the people my age.
For sure.
He sparred, like, pros already, but I don't want to say what pros, but yeah, he's part of a couple of pros already, you know. So he's testing everything out there.
I think that just was needed, you know, as part of that development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody that you were naming, they, you know, countless rounds with other pros and other top level guys along the way up. So this is going to be something that's needed if you want to be successful, I think.
Absolutely.
That's good that you're doing it already so early. So keep doing that.
So how's it been opening up a gym?
Overall, just busy, you know. Yeah, I think it's just busy. But I'm enjoying every second of it. So I have another business next to it. So
does it make it easier?
Huh?
Does it make it easier that your other business is directly across from it?
Right, right, yeah.
And are you running the gym yourself, or you got like a head trainer running it?
No, we have with myself, it makes it six of us, six different coaches. So there's some right now in the daytime, and then there's some of them in the
evening time.
The evening.
Okay.
And then I have one coach that mainly helps me with my son. That's Coach Louis. You know what I mean? So
is it a membership situation, a family only? How is it for the people listening that may want to come train at Silver State Boxing?
Yeah, it's just like a membership, you know. And then if you want to pretty much pick from the coaches we have available, you can. It depends on your time, you know. So we work everybody around everybody's time, and they can train with different coaches.
All right. So, Jesse, man, anything you want to say before we wrap it up? Any, I don't know, words of inspiration for any of those young kids out there that probably want to start boxing too, man?
Work as hard as you can and never give up. Even though it might be hard mentally, just make sure you get up every day, work and work.
For sure, man. Once again, give out your social media. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up and take a picture with you guys. But we do appreciate you coming in. You said it's in Missouri, right?
Yes.
All right. And it should be streamed. And it should be streamed on USA Boxing if everything goes well.
I think so, yeah.
But you guys will also have it on your Instagram.
Right.
And the address to the gym for anybody that listens that wants to come train. If you're not comfortable giving it out, that's cool
just
too.
Come give it a try. You know, we're going to give you guys free tryouts and see if you like the system, the program, the gym, and the vibe. You know, a lot of people go in there, if they get that good feeling in it, which everybody does when they walk in there, you know, more than welcome. Everybody come and join us.
Well, all right. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We do appreciate everybody that tuned in. Thank you to the Torreses for coming
in.
And we wish you the best of luck, man. Bring back the win so we get you back again and you can, you know, wear your shiny medal. What they giving, medals or belts?
I don't know. They should be giving belts.
Our first time, so we'll find that.
All right. Bring it home. Well, don't forget to join in.
Join us tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
Tune in at
9 a.m.
That's what it is. We've been up so early.
Ringwalk Danny, Nez GTO, the Boxing Boys, catch us tomorrow.
Peace.
Join us tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m.
That's what it is. We've been up so early.
Ringwalk Danny, Nez GTO, the Boxing Boys, catch us tomorrow.
Peace.
Work as hard.
A lot of people going there.
Man, bring back the win so we get you back again. And that's what it is. We've been up so early.
Ringwalk Danny, Nez GTO, the Boxing Boys, catch us tomorrow.
Peace.
He's real, like, he likes to challenge us, you know. He likes to...
What's up, what's up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview. For all you fighters and wannabe promoters, you got educated. But now, like we always say, big little nightmare. What's up, what's up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview. For all you fighters and wannabe promoters, you got educated. But now, like we always say, what's up, what's up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview. For all, and I was just watching, before we came here, we were just watching Carmel, what is it, Moulton?
Yeah.
He's 16. He ain't in school because he's training, because they believe in his talent. You understand? I'm not saying take your children out of school for all the PC police. I'm just saying when the kid has talent, the kid has talent. And Jesse, you seem to be one of those children that have some skill. This will be your first national tournament though, right?
Yeah.
And this is a youth tournament.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us, man, why did you get into this sport? Because I hear it was pretty recent.
Well, yeah, yeah. Because I've been doing sports my whole life. First, I started doing soccer, and then I went to football. But after a while, I didn't really like the team.
Why did he take up boxing so late?
Oh, like he said, you know, he played football. We were in love with football. I mean, we still love football. You know, we follow football a lot.
Take up the mic. Get a little closer. Yeah. All right, well, that's good because a lot of fighters can't deal with the spotlight. Why did he take up boxing so late?
Oh, like he said, you know, he played football. We were in love with football. I mean, we still love football. You know, we follow football a lot.
Take up the mic. Get a little closer. Yeah.
Yeah. So our thing was football 24/7. We watch football. We sleep football. We practice. You know, that was us since he was like seven and a half. So after the pandemic hit, he decided he wants to go to the gym and do boxing. So I said, all right.
Your facility, though. Like, you went all out for your son. Do you feel pressure? That's a big-ass gym.
I that's why I work as hard as I can, because I know that my dad built this all for me, so I can't let it go to waste.
Wow. That's an amazing, I didn't know that. I thought maybe you were a trainer before, and that's why I introduced you to him in case he blows up. Oh, yeah, you can cut some promo, guys.
Appreciate it, man.
What's up, what's up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Brian seems to think he can get down. And that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, no, let's go to him.
All right, well, let's cut to, you know, the best audio quality. Bed.com. Get yourself a set of Hibernation 5s. You hear all our callers calling, using them. And obviously, you know, the best audio quality. Actually excited, man. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we're joined alongside Adrian Clark. And I'm actually excited, man, because obviously from reading the book and having you on the show, that Earl Spence Miguel Cotto story always sticks out. And knowing the book, there's always little stories. So I guess my first question is, what pulled you back in? You said you were done with management.
No, you just talk straight into it.
Oh, it's hot on. Turn them on, guys.
Not yet.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we're joined alongside Adrian Clark. And I'm actually excited, man, because obviously from reading the book and having you on this, you can bring it closer to you if you want to.
And I was serious that I was never going to manage.
What up, what up? Welcome back, lady.
He's a heavyweight.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Don't forget to head on over to KenichiBear.com. Get yourself a set of high...
And I didn't tell him that, like, yo, I can't make it because I'm sick. I was going to come out and holler at him, and I got sick. And I didn't tell him that, like, yo, I can't make it because I'm sick. So it was strike one against me, really. But once we sat down, man, and we really hit it off. And, yeah, that was a priority of mine to make sure that by any means necessary that Brian Norman Jr. was a part of Fighters First. And we made sure that happened.
Now,
Dallas, man. I live in Dallas.
I know. I'm just saying we was out in Houston not too long.
You came to the city.
Play for the Jets too.
Boom, that's about to be right.
He managed though. You say Kendall Holt. Adrian Peterson wasn't around.
Maybe not Kendall. PBC. That's what I like to see. I don't like to see
right someone
a manager. You right. just you know what I mean.
Right.
So then there's a guy named Brian something who has every single female out here, from Melissa Odessa to Ebony Bridges. I mean, all the hot girls. Your relationship with Earl would probably help more than it wouldn't.
Well, I know for a fact.
But you
I know,
also have a relationship
with
Adam.
I know for a fact that Jolene reached out to Bomack. Where that conversation went or where it didn't go, it led to he's not on our roster. He's not someone that.
How long ago was this?
Jolene and I are tight with Brad. Like, well, what did you say to them for them to be like, nah? So we're actively trying to get something big for Gio.
Wait a minute, why you saying like that?
What's up, Pete? I'm not, because I mean, I went through her dad to understand.
You don't know, like, is she getting an apartment or is she getting a house?
Now, that's something that, you know, can be discussed, and we did discuss as far as like relocation goes. I'm asking, like, yo, can you relocate your job? Can you work anywhere in the world?
You know, I'm pulling teeth.
No, man, I didn't say nothing about that. Derek is a very busy man. Derek, you know,
and he ain't gonna have to write in.
I don't know
kinda
how.
I don't know. Kind of fits in the camp.
I don't know how D got in this conversation.
I'm pulling teeth. Kind of fits on, but not really. We gonna move on, but not really. So, speaking of Derek, have you had this?
Wish, and I told AJ and Derek. Derek knows this already. I wish AJ would have captured Derek in his 20s, man. Like the way he looks now, and he's only been there a couple.
Fear, soccer, football.
I like this kid.
So, as a Mexican, though...
Evening time. Okay.
All right.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We do appreciate everybody that tuned in. Thank you to the tourists for coming in and bringing home. Well, don't forget the 20th June.
Damn, that's... Join us tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. Ringwalk Danny, Nez GTO, the Boxing Boys catch us tomorrow.